First. Music or the misery?
100 albums.
Nobody worries about kids listening to thousands, literally thousands of songs about heartbreak, rejection, pain, misery, and loss.
One Vic Vaughn.
Did I listen to pop music because I was miserable? Or was I miserable because I listened to pop music?
It's Vic's Picks, Side B. All right, there it is. Welcome back, everybody. And Vic is here. Vic Vaughn is here. And you fully admitted some time ago that you had no musical knowledge whatsoever. And this has become a real journey for you because you went through the entire Rolling Stone Top 100 Best Albums of All Time list.
Yep, right.
And now you're into music, big
time. Most of 2019, now that we look back on it. Most of 2019.
And it really was a changer for you, like a game changer for you.
Yeah, life changer, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Okay, well, now we're working on the 21st century.
Yep.
This is a list from The Guardian, the top 100 albums of the 21st century. And I'm looking at both of these albums, never heard of them before in my life.
It's okay. It's
so you're going to have to educate me on this
one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's kick it off. We're going to start with number 92. That's where we're at. It's called the album's called New America Part 1, Fourth World War by Erykah Badu.
Oh, I know Erykah Badu.
Okay, do you? Okay,
yeah,
okay.
The artist's name is not on the thing I have here.
Okay, okay.
No, I love Erykah Badu.
Okay, well, then there we go. So she's a neo-soul, R&B, hip-hop singer-songwriter, born in Dallas, Texas, got her start in 94 by opening for D'Angelo in Fort Worth. You remember D'Angelo, Shirtless D'Angelo?
Yeah.
We all do. Very good song from that video. But released her first album, Baduism, a few years later in 97. But she's now 48 years young, my age. And she's an actress, record producer, mother of three now. But New America Part 1, Fourth World War, it's her fourth studio album and recorded at Electric Ladio Studios in New York City, released in 2008. After nearly 5 years, she went, apparently, according to her, she had writer's block. So released this album under the Universal Motown and Control Freak Records labels. And it followed the 2003 release of her fourth album, Worldwide Underground. And it was the first time she put out a CD that focused on social issues. She hadn't she hadn't done that before this album, and the second would be her next album, New America Part 2. That was the next album that focused also on social issues. But Marlon Ninth Wonder, Shafiq Hussein are among the producers, the many producers who helped work with Erykah Badu on the project, and it sold America Part 1, Fourth World War, sold nearly 360,000 copies in the first year. But check it out from the CD's opening track, song called American Promise. So this entire album is Badu's take, basically, or diagnosis on what's wrong with this country, with America, specifically for African Americans. Because so I found an article on Pitchfork. Pitchfork's Nitsu Abebe, the writer, calls New America Part 1, Fourth World War, this album. She calls it Badu's exploration of post-civil rights landscape in which African Americans have been kind of left to sort of sort out how to have a cultural identity as part of a nation, still quoting here, that had up until recently been the dedicated adversary of African Americans. From track three of New America Part One, song called "Me." Hold on, I got a little bit to say about this one. It's a very autobiographical song. This is a very personal song to her. Definitely my favorite song from this disc. A couple of the other songs became a bit much at times, to be honest, this album. It was tough for me to listen to at times. Specifically, track six, The Cell, and track eight, Master Teacher, come off to me a little bit like I was being fed moral advice at times. It was just a heavy album for where I'm at with my musical journey, which is definitely a beginner. It was a challenging album Other times, like track three, this song called Me, it's a warm song. It's more accessible. I think she allows herself to get very vulnerable in it, and I loved it. And even the other songs, because when I was reading the lyrics to the other songs, it's just, like I said, it's heavy stuff, a lot of this album, about tough social issues that many African Americans face in this country. But even those songs that I didn't necessarily enjoy as a listener, they're very sincere. You know, the lyric, when you really listen to the, or read the lyrics, she's speaking from the heart, and you can tell she's very sincere. And in that way, I did enjoy it. I really like. Well, let's play a little bit. Tom, do we have a little bit from track three?
See, that's more typical of Erykah Badu's sound.
That's exactly what I was saying earlier when I said this was her first album where she did tackle some of those tougher social issues. Yeah. And I hadn't listened to any of her stuff, so
she's best known for this song called Tyrone.
Okay.
And the live version of it is absolutely great. It's a hilarious song.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's really funny. And she was also in Blues Brothers 2000. She was in the Blues Brothers sequel. So she's known for that, and she's known for the unique things that she wears on her head. That's another thing that she knows.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you all right, Tom? Okay.
Why? What's he doing back
just,
there?
He just looked like he was shocked by something.
Okay.
Let's continue.
Okay. I really like track 10, a song called Telephone. It's a tribute to a great hip hop record producer and rapper from Detroit, known by his stage name J Dilla.
Mm-hmm.
He's the late James DeWitt Yancey, part of the group Slum Village, among many other groups that he worked with, including Madlib, one of the producers of this album. He suffered from a blood disorder and died in 2006 when he was just 32. But here's the song dedicated to J Dilla, Telephone.
They won't be too long.
That's another song I liked on this album. Yeah.
And like I said, this is those last two tracks are much more typical of the kind of stuff that Erykah Badu does.
Yeah. That's and I didn't know style. That, but that makes sense to me because like, I did research and learned that this was her first album that was kind of departure from that stuff that she did first, the first three albums. But Tom was just speaking in my ear and saying that there was a couple things in that last song that were done by artists and producers who we'll hear again on this list. But... but a little bit from the bonus track, it's a funky song called Honey, Tom. And that, again, a little bit from New America, Part 1, Fourth World War by Erykah Badu. This week was hugely challenging to me because I'd never heard of Erykah Badu or the next artist that we're about to listen to, too. And I had to do a lot of research just to figure out how to say their names.
Well, the next album that we'll do after we break in a few minutes, I've never heard of. Never heard of it. But Erykah Badu, I know Erykah Badu, and I like Erykah Badu a lot.
Do you remember Rakia Traore?
Yeah.
We listened to her a few weeks ago, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'll just give you a little teaser that it's similar. The next album is in the same wheelhouse.
Oh, it is.
So, yeah, yeah. So it's okay. it's a beautiful, a lot of beautiful guitar play on this next album.
Okay. All right. Tom, where do you stand on that and Erykah Badu? Yeah.
So, big fan. I first heard her, she did an album called The Anarch Droid or Anarch, something like that. And I've always been fascinated by her. I think she's really, really a very special voice in modern soul. And just to speak to that song Telephone that was dedicated to J Dilla. J Dilla is probably one of the most influential producers of the 21st century, despite having died at an incredibly young age. People like Kanye West owe everything to him and his influence, and even Jay-Z. People like Timbaland also name check J Dilla all the time. And literally within that song Telephone, I could hear production elements that are from J Dilla albums and songs that he produced. So, and Madlib himself, an incredibly influential producer that works in kind of like that kind of classical soul, using a lot of samples and stuff from like jazz. He did an entire album that was all samples from Blue Note Records, legendary jazz label. So it's really cool that Erykah did that and that she's working in that mode. I think it's a really cool album. I've heard this one before. Like Vic said, it gets a little heavy and a little bit, I guess, preachy at times, but not without, you know, reason to be a little preachy. But if you like soul, if you like funk, if you like all that kind of stuff, you literally cannot go wrong with Erykah Badu.
Preachy's a good word. What you just said was, I didn't think of that word, but at a point I began to feel like that's what was happening. But then, like Tom said, when I really dug into the lyrics and read them word for word from the first track to the last track, you can tell this is real stuff for her. And so in that way, it makes it kind of, it makes it okay.
Yeah.
But again, for my level, like I said, I found it like pretty heavy. But again, there were a couple of tracks on here that I fell in love with, and I learned a lot about these producers that helped on this album, Madlib, Ninth Wonder, and then I hope I got that right, and then about J Dilla, I never really known about him at all.
Well, the thing is, as we've talked about, now that you're going through the 21st century albums, you're going to be coming across tons of producers because that's just, we've talked about this before, the nature of the game now, in making music is that there are several producers on a record. Guest starring, guest featuring. You'll see that a lot.
Collaboration has just
it's and so there's
over.
There's tons of producers, and on especially in the world of R&B or hip hop.
Yeah,
there are a lot of songs that feature this artist and feature another artist and collaborations and
I'm not so
different producers.
I'm not so sure that it wasn't happening back in the '60s and '70s. Like on when we did that, if we have time, when we did that other list, it was very heavy into the '60s and '70s, but they collaborated too. The Beatles, the Beach Boys, the Mamas and the Papas. List goes on. They all kind of gathered eventually into California, right? That valley. Well, I can't remember what it's called,
but it was each.
But they listened. They would listen to each other,
right? But they didn't necessarily perform on their albums.
That's true.
What I mean? This case, they all perform on albums and produce different tracks.
Yeah.
So, all right, Vic, hang on, okay. Vic is here, and we're learning about Vic's picks, and we'll take a quick break here, and then we will come back.
Every time you come around, you got to bring Jim, James, Paul, and Tyrone. See, why can't we be by ourselves? See, I've been
having
this on my mind for a long
time. That's Erykah Badu.
Wow. That's Erykah Badu. Yeah. I got to listen to her first
Tyrone
album.
That's Tyrone. The live version, there's such a hilarious payoff in the last part of the. But you can't use my. You better call Tyrone at the end. She's like, but you can't use my phone. It's great. That's probably her most popular
song. Man, I haven't listened to any of that.
She's great. Erykah Badu is great. She is really, really great. I mean, she might have gotten a little heavy-handed with this record, but the cuts like Me and Telephone and Honey, those are very much typical of what, and what you just heard right there is Tyrone. That's the kind of thing that she does, that kind of sultry R&B soul thing. She's got a fantastic voice.
Oh, yes, she does.
Yeah. So, by the way, the news is next. That's you.
Yep.
From the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, Vic's Picks continues. Vic is on this musical journey, and we always talk about two albums a week. This is the 21st century, the best albums of the 21st century, according to The Guardian. And let's move on and talk about the next album.
Okay, number 91, In the Heart of the Moon. That's the name of the album. It's by Ali Farka Touré and Tomani Dabate. I'm not sure about the pronunciation, though, I have to be honest, about Dabate. So please forgive my related ignorance. 100 best albums of the 21st century by The Guardian. This is another one of those albums, because it's not the first time we've encountered this during Vic's Picks on this particular list that we're going over now, best of the 21st century, that we've come across an album that's not in English.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Your listeners, I know you do, Nick. I know you do, because you fell in love with her music like I did. But your listeners may remember Rokia Traore. A lot of that album was in French and Bamankan, the national language of Mali. So is this one.
Okay.
All right. But like that one, it's you just have to keep in mind that music is an international language. And it's a lot like love. It's an international language. So you just listen to the music and you'll understand it. You don't need to listen to the word. In fact, there's very, very few words on this entire album.
It's mostly instrumental.
I'd love to count them and tell you, but I listened to the entire album, and I feel like there's got to be less than 100 words on the entire album, but I could be wrong. But this artist, by the way, is considered by a lot of music critics one of the greatest guitar players in the world. So get ready. It's a lot of fun. Start off with a little from the opening track on In the Heart of the Moon, song called Debbie. No, I'm just kidding. It's not Debbie. I think it's Debe.
Debe.
I think it means should.
D-E-B-E.
D-E-B-E. I think it's should.
Okay.
But I'm unsure on that too. So let's let the guitar speak for itself. Tom, save me. So Ali Farka Touré is a Malian singer. He plays a lot of instruments. He's one of Africa's most beloved musicians. And in part, of it's because he's accredited with combining Malian music with American blues.
Mm-hmm.
And Rolling Stone magazine ranked him 76th out of its top 100 greatest guitarists of all time in the world. He ranked much higher, actually, on Spin magazine's list. They put him at number 37 in the world. Born in 1939, died about 13 years ago. He was only 66. His father died when he was only a toddler. His dad died serving in the French army in 1940, and he was born in 39. But check this out. Ali Farka Touré, his mom had 10 boys. Okay. She had 10 boys. He's the only one to survive past infancy. Okay, and Farka's his nickname.
Wow.
Yeah, his nickname is Farka. His actual middle name is Ibrahim, and but he says it's custom in Mali to give a child a nickname if his mother has had stillbirths before his birth.
Wow!
And so they gave him the nickname Farka, which in Bamankan, according to Farka, means donkey. Farka.
Uh-huh.
And he says they named him that because donkeys are stubborn and have tenacity. So a little more here now from track 4 on this album. Beautiful song, in my opinion, called Monsieur Le Meilleur de Nia Funk, whatever. I don't know. I have no idea what I just said, and I'm sure I should be embarrassed about it, but not to distract, because it's simply gorgeous. And Tom will play a little bit of that.
That's really nice.
Yeah, it's a nice song, man. The whole song is beautiful.
Yeah.
I listen before I go to sleep at night, every night. Mm-hmm. I listen to, I have an Alexa in my bedroom, and I listen to Marconi Union, the 10-hour version, and it just...
Yeah.
But this album's now, I'm serious, is going to replace that. This is a very beautiful album. Now, In the Heart of the Moon, this album was released less than a year before Ali Farka Touré died.
Mm-hmm.
It was released in 2005. He died in 2006. It's got 12 absolutely, in my opinion, transcendent tracks. Comes in at just under an hour long, the complete album. So I'll play it on loop when I sleep. But it was produced by Nick Gold under the World Circuit label. Here's a little bit from Aiga Bani. Wrap it up quickly with the next track.
It's beautiful.
Oh, it is, man.
You know, it's what. Here's what's been fun about this list is that I'm learning more. Mm-hmm. You know, because I don't listen to a lot of 21st century music because I'm an old man and I listen to the old stuff. So when we did the top 100 greatest albums of all time, I knew all of that stuff.
You knew every.
But this one, I'm learning, and this is something that I really enjoy. I'm enjoying listening to this.
I thought you might because you liked Rick. What was her name? Rick. Rakia Traore, yeah. So I thought you might like
it. Yeah, no, this sounds
Molly,
great.
Man. I mean, who knew? I mean, there's some amazing guitar play coming out of that country.
Yeah.
Wrap it up with a little bit from Kadi Kadi. Nick, here's my take on this album.
Yeah.
And again, okay, so we're talking about In the Heart of the Moon. That's the name of the album
right.
by Ali Farka Touré and Tamani Diabaté. My Virgin Ears, because again, I'm one of those guys who knows next to nothing about music. My take is it's one of the most, maybe the most soothing music that I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
And I started this back in March of 2019 that I've come across. And I think it's incredible. What Ali Ibrahim or Farka Touré can make a guitar do. It's incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah, no,
and I've watched tons of videos of him playing the guitar too, preparing for this. It's incredible.
Mm. And so he is, I'm sorry, he passed away, how long ago? 2006, you said, right?
Yeah, he passed away
so it's
almost
like,
13 years ago. So he's been gone a long time, but... He passed away 1 year after this album's release. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and that's called "In the Heart of the Moon."
In the Heart of the Moon.
Okay, and that's a part of the list of the Guardian that you are going through.
Yeah, number 91.
Yeah, so really nice stuff. And I'm a fan of Erykah Badu already. So it was nice to hear her stuff. And I really love what we just heard.
Yeah.
So very, very good. Now you're working on the list as we speak. You're still jumping into it and all that cool stuff.
We got a ways to go.
Yeah, we do. Tom, what do you think of this last one?
I mean, it reminds me a lot of stuff that my dad used to play for me. He was really into guitar music like that. I remember specifically a band called Acoustic Alchemy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Really big. I think, Vic, you would really like that, too.
Ooh.
Where it's guys just shredding on the acoustic guitar and very calming, very soothing sort of stuff. I really enjoy that.
I'm noting it now. Acoustic. What was it?
Acoustic Alchemy.
Okay.
So, yeah. No, it's good. It's really nice, soothing stuff.
Yeah, I love that
to
stuff,
and,
man.
You know, give you a little break from some of the other stuff that we've been listening to.
I'm slamming No Means No every Friday night, you know?
No, yeah, No Means No is the polar opposite of what we
I've actually are hearing right I'm now. Aware of it.
Yeah, no means no. So, all right. Well, Vic, always a pleasure, my friend. You got to rush off to the newsroom.
Yeah, I got to get in there, man. I love it. Thank you for
Absolutely.
Inviting me
it's
on
my
your
pleasure.
Show, man.
We'll
love
do it.
It
again next week as Vic continues his musical journey on Vic's Picks. All right, let's take a break, and we will get to that newsroom right after this.